Verse for today is found in Psalm 27, verse 13, the New Living Translation. In prayer meeting, what we've been doing is sharing some of the verses that we find in our daily devotions. And I picked Psalm 27, 13, and then I erased it, crossed it out, and I said, well, I'm going to preach on this one. It's just that good. Well, they're all that good, aren't they? Because they all tell us about the goodness of God. I looked it up in the New American Standard and it said something different, so you don't have to look it up in your Bible. It might say the wrong thing. But it's kind of been a blessing sharing. I had the experience this week that one of the people from church, I didn't know, had gone out and bought one of the New Living Translations and had shared with someone else in the church that I had shared with the same verse. And I said, wow, that's cool. I said, it's just great to be reading the same thing at different times, but reading it together. And I'm sure you experience that when you read the daily bread and you say, wow, this is a special blessing. I'm going to share it with someone. And they've read the same verse. And it's just kind of like there's a camaraderie in the scriptures, in the Word of God, as we share them together, separate and yet together. We grow together in Christ. My version said, yet I am confident. I like that word, confident. I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Confidence. So important to us to be confident. Are you confident in the people who are in your life? I want to be confident in my doctor. You know, I don't want to go to an incompetent doctor. You know, there are a few people who I don't want to go to who are going through some kind of a procedure where they've never done it before. I want an experienced doctor. I wouldn't mind waiting a while to have to see the doctor who has experience rather than someone just out of medical school who's never done that surgery before. I want to go to the person who knows what they're doing. I don't want to get on an airplane and have the pilot come on and say, if this is your first time up in an airplane, don't worry, it's my first time too. I want to have confidence in the pilot of that airplane that I'm flying on. You know, let it be an older man or an older woman who has gone through this procedure a few times before. I want to be confident in my friends, in my church family. And I really need to be confident in my God. There are many gods in the world today. Many individuals think that they are gods. But I want the God who's been around since creation. In fact, the one who is the Creator God. The one who made me. He has the right credentials. And I have a personal history with this God, because I've known him now for over 50 years. And I've not only found out that he's good, I've found out that he's faithful. So the question is, do I have this kind of confidence in the Lord? And how can that confidence be transferred to the people I care about? Because I want you to be confident in him too. I want you to realize that he is faithful. I want my family, my friends, my fellowship, all to have the same confidence that I have in him. And then to be able to share that, I think it was called in the Reagan years, trickle-down economics. I want it to trickle down from the pulpit and from the Word of God to you this morning, and I want it to trickle down into your family and to your network of neighbors and friends and acquaintances. David wrote Psalms to demonstrate his confidence in God. And this was in the midst of one of those Psalms, going through some terrific battles in life. David was saying to the people of Israel, I've been through what you're going through. I've been through those difficult times, and I want you to know that God is faithful, and He'll be with you during those difficult times as well. So we have a relationship with God through His Word, through this word that David gave to us this morning. I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. So often we hear that, don't we, as Christians? Well, you know, you believe in pie in the sky by and by, and it's okay. I love pie. And I'm going to enjoy it in the sky by and by. But I want to have some here right now, too. You know, to enjoy what God has available for me right now. And I'm going to see that goodness in my life right now. In spite of all of those requests that we shared this morning, all of those difficult times that people are going through, I am confident that they will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. So we read the Bible stories. We read the Bible, study the Bible, memorize and meditate on the Word of God. And our confidence builds. Our confidence in Him grows as we read His Word. I have a friend on Facebook who has a healing ministry. And every once in a while, they'll have a special service for pets. You know, bring your dog, bring your cat, bring your horse, whatever it is that's sick, you know, and we'll pray for them. And I used to think, why do you do that? Why do you have healing services for animals? And he said, well, they have the healing services for animals to help our faith to grow. You know, if God heals my dog, can I trust Him to heal me when I get to that point in my life when I need His healing? So it kind of made sense. One of my favorite personal verses is Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, for I am confident. There's that word again. Isn't it great to have confidence, to know what you're doing? I am confident. Why does that verse mean so much to me? It says, I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus. Why was that verse so, and is that verse so important to me? Because I wasn't confident. And I probably went through the first 20 years of my life or 18 years of my life not really confident in my relationship with the Lord. Why? Because I thought it was up to me. It was kind of a performance-based Christianity. If I was good enough, then I felt, well, I was good enough for God. But it wasn't so much that I was good enough, it was that I was good enough in Christ. He made me good enough. It was His work in me. And again, I was reading through the Bible one day and I saw this verse. And it just jumped off the sheet of paper and landed in my mind and in my heart. It says, for I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work. I was one of those kids that every time there was an invitation, maybe it was because of the churches I went to, and they gave a lot of invitations, and it was like they always tried to make you feel guilty. And it didn't take much to make me feel guilty. And then they would say, come up, and those of you who want to accept Jesus as your Savior, you can sit up here. Those of you who want to rededicate, sit over here. And so I would go to the Alliance Church where they believed you could lose your salvation. And they got me lost every time. And so I would come up to the front, and I would say, yeah, I'm here for salvation, but I'm a Baptist, so I better go over to this side. So I'd constantly be, renewing my commitment to Christ, rededicating my life to Christ until I found this verse. And I said, Lord, when did you start that work in my life? When was it? And of course, he didn't speak verbally to me, but in my heart, he said, you know, he said, I started when you were just a little boy in the hallway between your room and your sister's room. When you sat there with your mom or your sister, I don't even remember who was there with me, but they said, you need Jesus. You need to ask him to forgive you and be your savior. And then I said, is there evidence that he's been working in my life ever since? Yes, for the last 50 plus years, he's continued to work in my life. But it all started way back then when I first trusted Jesus as my Savior. So I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work, a New Testament reflection of an Old Testament verse, from Psalm 27, that God is a good God. And I've seen him do wonderful things in my life. And I have that confidence in him. It's not a false confidence. There is a false confidence. For the past few weeks, I've been working my way through 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Very interesting history of Israel. The Assyrian king comes to Jerusalem, and he's standing outside the walls of Jerusalem yelling up, I have a deal for you. If you surrender, you can live. You can be my slaves, but you can live. Now, he'd already just bulldozed over all of the other nations between what is now Iraq and Judah. He had taken Israel, the 10 northern tribes, into captivity. And now he stood outside of Jerusalem. He had an impressive track record. And he said, nobody has been able to stand in my way. And I am going to conquer you. He said it in Hebrew so he could intimidate the people up on the wall. Zechariah came to King Hezekiah and said, don't worry. He's not going to take Jerusalem. Hezekiah put his faith in the Lord. And word came back from Assyria that they were under attack by another country. He returned home to be killed a short time later by assassins. God is in control. Who do we trust? Sometimes we have to trust ourselves in the decisions that we make. We have to make the best decision possible. Sometimes we have to trust others, don't we? We trust a doctor, a surgeon. We trust a pilot of an airplane. Our country's motto is, in God we trust. And it's so important for us to trust God, not ourselves, not even the people that we have to sometimes, but ultimately to put our trust in God. David said, I will see the Lord's goodness. Visually, David the boy, daydreaming about his future in the fields of Bethlehem. David, again the writer of the psalm here, bringing bread and cheese to his brothers as they waged war. Where? Gaza. Dreaming of the day he would stand in battle in the name of the Lord. David in his prime, waiting for the Lord to fulfill his promise that came at the hand of Samuel when he anointed him as the future king of Israel, running from King Saul. David, the strong king of Israel, wars all around, attacked from every side, treachery in his own family, tragedy in his family, yet confident in God. I will see. Oh, he was confident. There will be physical evidence. I will be able to see God's hand at work. Others will also be able to see God's hand at work. The nations and the nation will see God's hand at work in my life. And it will be good. He says, I will see the Lord's goodness. And isn't the Lord good and everything he makes? Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. God saw all that he made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. We still see that residual goodness of the creation of God all around us. So we look at the mountains, as we look at the sea, as we look at the ponds and lakes and rivers, we see the goodness of God all around us. Only God can make good come out of everything. Many people have wonderful childhoods, but later in life, many times things fall apart, especially if we live long enough. Many people have difficult childhoods. Then later in life, it all comes together. Some people sail through their careers only to find their health deteriorate at the end. We think we have everything under control. Then it breaks loose and we're floundering. But God is still in control. And God is good. That's what David's life was like. Good times and bad. And all lives are like that. But only God can put it all together. How do we tap into God's will for our lives? I think in my life it's been through God's word and through prayer, that connection with him. Graham Cook said, "What is your perception of God when you pray? Is he inclining his ear toward you, or do you feel as though you have to persuade him or trick him into listening? If your image of God is that he is interested and delighted in you, your whole prayer life and approach to him will be changed. You'll love prayer." That's the way it should be. Where will I see God's goodness? Well, it's definitely not predictable. I love the Chronicles of Narnia. In one of them, the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe, Lucy at the end is looking out over the beach as Aslan, who represents Christ, is walking away. He's depicted as a lion. And she's talking to her good friend Tumnus about this, about Aslan's leaving, and what she should be able to expect from Aslan. And Tumnus, the fawn, says to her, "He's not a tame lion, you know." And Lucy smiles with that knowing look in her eye and said, "Yes, but he is good." And what a profound statement Lewis is trying to teach the children. He's not always going to do everything you think you want him to do, but he is good. God doesn't always give us the answer we're looking for, but it is the answer for us. This past week, there were 40,000 Christians on a mountaintop in Iraq, fleeing the violence down below. Those who were at the bottom of the mountain were waiting for them to come down because of a lack of water and a lack of food. I don't know about you, I got a Facebook message from Franklin Graham, who asked us to pray for those Christians and others on the mountain. If they were forced down, they would have to either become Muslims or leave the country or be beheaded. And at this time, Christians' children are being beheaded in Iraq. And so we prayed. And by the end of the week, President Obama, who's very reluctant to be involved in any war, no matter what, had come to the conclusion that we should send them aid and do airdrops to these people, as well as provide air support for those who were fighting against ISIS in that area. We need to continue to pray for them as well as other Christians around the world who live in those persecuted countries. About 87% of the world's population, of the countries in the world, are anti-Christian. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. God is good. And we need to share that message with as many people as possible. This week, I walked into her room. I wouldn't have guessed the questions she held deep in her heart. She had moved to America from Europe when she was still quite young. Her accent lingered. She had married a man who also was from Central Europe. Now he was gone. I introduced myself to her and we chatted for a while. Everyday conversation. Where are you from? How long have you lived here? Why are you here in the hospital? Would it be okay if I prayed for you today? She replied, "Do you think prayer really works?" What was she thinking? People pray all the time. Believers, unbelievers, foxhole Christians. Oh yes, prayer works because there is a God in heaven who loves you as his own child. Prayer works because God desires his best for you. He may not answer your request the way you want him to, but he'll always do what is best. He will do the ultimate good because he is the ultimate good. We always have to remember that the majority of our prayers will be answered when we get to heaven. The Bible says when we are in heaven, there will be no more sickness, no more tears, no more death. She said, "Oh, you believe in heaven and hell?" "Yes, I do." Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." As I talked with her about heaven and gave her the promises we find in John 3:16 and a number of other verses, it dawned on me what a wonderful privilege I have to tell others about the reality of this place called heaven. I can invite everyone to join me in this journey to glory. We live in a world full of ambassadors to hell. We hear people telling others they should go there all the time. A place void of the goodness of God. That's where this woman's heart had been. Void of the goodness of God. How fortunate we are to know the God of goodness, the God who is good. How is your relationship with the God who is good? It's great to be surrounded by good people who love you, but we are so limited. God's goodness is unlimited. When we develop our relationship with him, he promises, "I will never leave you or forsake you. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Isn't that the relationship we need going through this world of disappointments and uncertainties? My visit was interrupted by the medical staff. but not before I was able to share the promises of our good God and share with her a prayer claiming those promises, including forgiveness for sin and a desire for a personal relationship with the one who would be with her through the darkest times and into the brightest times. How about you? Have you developed that relationship with God, the Lord who is good? Do you have a relationship with Him who is able to walk with you through the darkest of times? How do we pursue that relationship? Well, first of all, to settle the issue of salvation, just to go to Him in prayer and ask for His forgiveness, to make you a child in His family, to be your Savior and your Lord. It's as simple as that publican sinner's prayer in the Bible, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me in Jesus' name." And then to walk with God in His Word, to find out what His promises are, to find out what kind of a God He is and how He reacts to our situation, to study the lives of people like King David and see how God worked in his life, to talk with God in prayer and to realize that He loves for us to come into His presence by prayer, to worship God in fellowship with other believers. What a privilege it is for us to gather together as the body of Christ to worship Him. The songs that we sing, the prayers that we pray, as we study God's Word and share God's Word together, and then to serve God in Christian service and in witness, to help other people, to help them come to know who this God is, who gave His only Son for our salvation. As I thought about this lady in the hospital last week and realized what a privilege it is for me to be an ambassador of Christ, to represent Jesus here in the world today. And that's our privilege, our birthright as Christians, to share with others and to be able to offer to them that which we have received, salvation from our Lord. Let's grow in that relationship so that we can have confidence and so that we can share that confidence with others. "Yet I am confident," David wrote, "I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. We praise Thee, O God, our Redeemer."